Joshua 11, please. And our text is the 22nd verse of the portion. Joshua 11, verse 22. It says, there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. Just to pick out one of the names of the three, the first one at the head of the list, the name of Gaza, that is the place in particular, that is the area that is of special consideration for us in the service tonight. The theme of the message is the Gaza Strip. It's an area that has been very prominent in the news reports and the television in recent days. The Gaza Strip is a very small piece of land on the Mediterranean coast in southern Israel, down towards the southwest corner of the land. The Gaza Strip has a population of about 1.6 million people. It is one of the most densely populated places on the whole earth. The size of the Gaza Strip, it's about 25 miles long, and it varies between 3.5 and 7.5 miles wide. So you'll see it's not a very big piece of land that all the controversy and all the fighting is taking place over. The 12th of September 2005, just over 7 years ago, that was a very significant date. That was the day that ended 38 years of Israeli control in that region. 25 Jewish settlements were dismantled, and so too were all the Jewish military bases in the Strip, a wee bit like what has been taking place in Northern Ireland in recent years. And every Jew was removed from the area. Some of the Jews were removed willingly, but others had to be removed by force. Jewish soldiers came in and they forcefully dragged Jews from their own homes. Imagine that. Unbelievable scenes. Jewish soldiers removing Jewish people from their own homes. And it's now what could be described, the Gaza Strip is, as a Jew-free zone. There's not a Jew that is left in that area. Afterwards, what the Palestinians did was they demolished the homes of the Jewish people, and they demolished their synagogues and burnt them to the ground. And then a few days after all of that took place, all of those great events and the upheaval that it caused, a few days after, an explosion took place in the Gaza Strip. The Arabs believed it was an Israeli attack. The terrorist group Hamas then retaliated with a car bomb in Israel. Then the Jews attacked Gaza once more with their helicopter gunships. The Jewish army started to line up its tanks and so on all along the border of the Gaza Strip. And the two forces were once again lining up for war. One reporter at that time said that the Jewish withdrawal from Gaza was meant to end all of this. But it hasn't, men and women. Recently, the fighting broke out again. Israel attacked Gaza with an airstrike, which killed the leader of that Hamas terrorist group. Israel then launched what they call Operation Pillar of Defense. It was an operation to protect Israelis from the rocket and the mortar attacks that were being fired by the militants, by the terrorists in the Gaza Strip. Those rockets and mortars were landing all over the land of Israel. And it started to escalate when the Israeli army, the parliament, passed the bill, and the Israeli army called up 75,000 reserve troops. They were preparing for a ground invasion off the Gaza Strip. It was building up to be a very serious situation, a very serious international incident. The exchanges between the two sides, the exchanges of fire lasted for over a week, but in recent days a ceasefire has been in place, and as far as I understand, that ceasefire has held until now. And what is happening, brethren and sisters, can I say to you, what is happening out there in that region, what is happening between those two peoples, it is nothing new, because the battle for Gaza has been a long battle. It is a battle that has been raging for some 4,000 years. And if the United Nations and the international governments think that they're going to sort it out in a few days or in a few months, they're only misleading themselves. It's a battle that has been raging for millennia. There's few places on the earth that there's been more fighting over than the Gaza Strip. And I hope to show you a little of that even from the scriptures tonight. Inevitably, people start to ask the questions when events like this are unfolding. Does the Bible, does the prophetic scriptures have anything to say about Gaza? And the answer is yes, they do. There are 19 references in all to Gaza in the scriptures. In 18 verses, there are 19 references. 18 of those references are in the Old Testament, and there's just one of them in the New Testament. But it's important to know and to understand that Gaza, the Gaza Strip, is also known by other names. It's known by the name of Gaza. It's a wee bit like Gaza. They've left off the G, they've put in another Z, and they've added an H onto the end. Gaza. It's a place name that you find in the Bible. You'll be more familiar with the name of Philistia. That's also a name in the scriptures for the Gaza Strip. And note, I want you to note that, men and women, that Philistia is essentially the same place, when you read about it in the Bible, as the Gaza Strip that we hear about in the news reports today. The Bible has a lot to say about that area of the earth. Now keep in mind that, like Babylon in the Bible, the name Gaza refers both to the city and to the country. It refers to the city and to the area round about that city. And in fact, what the reference to it here in our text, in all probability, is to the city of Gaza itself. The Gaza Strip, the region, it takes its name from the city of Gaza, the main city in that particular region. And what I want us to do tonight is to think about this area, and I want to answer for you some questions from the scriptures about the area known as the Gaza Strip. The first question I'd like to ask and answer is, when did the Gaza Strip first appear? Is the Gaza Strip, men and women, something that is new, maybe to recent years, to recent decades? Was the Gaza Strip established since the Jews returned to the land of Israel in 1948? Was the Gaza Strip, was it where all the Palestinians resorted to when thousands of Jews started coming back to the land of Israel? Or was the Gaza Strip established more recently under what was known internationally as the Road Map to Peace? Let us think of that question. When was the Gaza Strip first established? Well, the reality, men and women, is that it has been in existence for thousands of years. The borders may have varied slightly. The name may have changed from time to time. But essentially, it has been in existence for a very long time. If you look at the words of our text, Joshua 11 and 22, it says there was none of the Anakims left in the land of Israel. And notice these words, only in Gaza, in Gath and in Ashdod, there remained. That verse is giving a summary of Joshua's conquest of the promised land. And what we're told, it's very important to note it, we're told that he didn't conquer all of the promised land. There was a certain area in the land of Israel that even Joshua failed to possess. And that area included Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. And that, men and women, is essentially the Gaza Strip. It's the same area. It's the same region of the land of Israel. So I want you to see tonight, the struggle for the land of Gaza is nothing new. Joshua was one of the greatest military generals that Israel ever had. In fact, to this day, when you want to become an officer in the Israeli army, one of the textbooks that they give you to read is the book of Joshua from the Old Testament scriptures, because of the military strategy set out and the military strategy that Joshua used in the conquest of the promised land. He was one of the greatest military generals that Israel ever had. He fought for the land of Israel. He fought to possess the entire land of Israel 4,000 years ago. But there was one particular area of that land where Joshua was defeated. The same was true of Hezekiah. The Bible says of Hezekiah, he smote the Philistines even onto Gaza and the borders thereof. Even onto Gaza. What that means is that Hezekiah couldn't conquer. He couldn't possess this area of the land either. So brethren and sisters, there's always been a people in this region of the earth who have been the enemies of Israel. There's always been a people in this area of the earth who have been at war with the Jewish people. They don't want the Jews to come and dwell among them. You only have to think of the story of Samson. Didn't Samson go to Gaza? The Bible tells us one of the great feats of strength that Samson displayed was he carried away the gates of Gaza. Isn't there a lovely picture of Christ there when he defeated the gates of hell? The great battle that he fought at the cross on our behalf. Samson carrying away the gates of Gaza. It's a picture of Christ carrying away the gates of hell, the great battle and the victory that he won. That's what happened when Samson went to Gaza. They lay in wait all night for him. And the plan was to kill him in the morning. And that simple story, men and women, it's an example of the hostility and the enmity of the people of that region that they displayed towards the Jews then, and they still display towards the Jewish people today. So when did the Gaza Strip first appear? That's the first question. The second question I want you to think about is, who lives? We're going to think of it in the past, but we're going to bring it right up to date as well. Who lived in the Gaza Strip? That's a good question. Think of it like this, if I could ask you to ponder this for a moment. Who is Israel's most famous enemy? Who did Israel make war with all the days of Saul? The answer, of course, is the Philistines. And what I want you to see, brethren and sisters, and understand tonight is that the Gaza Strip that we hear so much about in the news is the home of the Philistines, the home of Israel's most ancient enemy. This area, as I've mentioned to you already, is also known as Philistia. You read of Philistia three times in the scriptures. Doesn't the name give you a clue as to who actually lives there? Philistia is the home of the Philistines. Now let us ask tonight, where is Philistia? Did you ever look for it? The Old Testament speaks about the land of the Philistines. There are many references to it. David and Isaac both lived there for a time. It's not a striking thing to think of David that conquered the Philistines and slew Goliath, their giant, that for a time in his life in a backslidden state, he went down and he lived among the Philistines in what the Bible calls the land of the Philistines. I wonder, my friend, in all the times you've read about the land of the Philistines and all the times that you've heard about it, did you ever ask yourself, where is that? Where is it in the land of Israel? Where is it in the geography of Bible lands? Well, it is basically the Gaza Strip, the same piece of land that we're thinking about tonight. And I want to try and show that to you, men and women. You listen to these words from the prophet Amos. He said, "Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt?" The Lord's talking here about how he has been influencing peoples and nations, moving them from one location to another on the earth, especially in that Mediterranean area. He says, "Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtar, and the Syrians from Kir?" It's the middle group of people that we are especially thinking of, the Philistines from Kaphtar. We're told that the Philistines, at one time in the past, they lived in a place called Kaphtar. I'll not go into that too much tonight, but in all probability, that was the island of Crete out in the Mediterranean Sea. But what the Lord stresses is that he led them to a new home. And can I emphasize, it was the Lord that did it. It was his hand upon them. It was the Lord that brought them to that new home. You ask me, where was that new home? Well, again, the Bible gives us the answer. The book of Deuteronomy says, "And the Avims, which dwelt in Hazarim, even unto Aza." Remember I told you, Aza, another name for Gaza. "Even unto Aza, the Kaphtarims, which came forth out of Kaphtar, destroyed them and dwelt in their stead." That's a difficult verse, but I want to stress to you, it's a very important verse in the Bible. Aza, another name for Gaza, and it says that those that came from Kaphtar, remember that was the Philistines that came from Kaphtar. Moses is saying in the book of Deuteronomy, they came and they dwelt in that area known as Aza or Gaza. I don't want to take the time tonight to tell you how that actually happened, just to emphasize the fact, by God's hand upon them, the Kaphtarims, who were the Philistines, they came to the land of Israel and they dwelt in that area known as Gaza. So who lived in Gaza in ancient times, men and women? It was the Philistines. And the people that's on the news today fighting with Israel, they're the descendants of the Philistines. The reality, men and women, is that Israel's battle with the Philistines is not over. It's far from being over. The struggle continues. It continues to this very day. In some respects, we could say that history is repeating itself. You ask me, what is happening in Israel today? Well, it can be summed up simply like this, that the Philistines are invading the land. That's like something you'd read in the Old Testament scriptures, isn't it? The Philistines invading the land. Well, that's what's happening out in the land of Israel in these last few weeks. And if you have any doubt about that, I want you to remember this, men and women. Think that the name Palestine, don't we talk about the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization? The name Palestine, it actually comes from the word Philistine. There's a great similarity, isn't there? A great similarity between the words. They sound the same. Palestine, Philistine, the two words sound the same. And even more than that, they come from the very same root word. The reality tonight is this. The Palestinians are the Philistines of ancient times. They're exactly the same peoples. And remember this, that some of the Philistines were giants. The best known of the giants was Goliath of Gath. And our text reminds us, this verse in Joshua reminds us that Gath is out there in that particular region of the earth that we are thinking of tonight. The verse talks about Gaza and Gath and an Ashdod there remains. So it's out there. Gath is in this region that we're thinking about. Can I point out that this area, the Gaza Strip, is one of the areas where the giants actually lived. You think of the text as a whole. It says there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza and in Gath and in Ashdod there remain. That word Anakims, that's another name for the giants. There's a number of names in the Bible for the giants, and the Anakims is one of them. And it's clear that this part of Israel especially is where the giants actually lived. They were able to drive the giants out of the rest of the land. That's what it's saying. There was none of the Anakims left. That's summing up Joshua's military battles. It's summing up all that he had accomplished. And it says there's none of the Anakims left. None of the giants is left in any other part of the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza, Gath, and in Ashdod. Really what that means is they were just left in the area known as the Gaza Strip. There's an interesting question, you know. How did the giants survive the flood? Remember the Bible talks about the days of Noah, the days before the flood. There was giants in the earth in those days. The giants are a very interesting study. And one of the most interesting questions is how did they survive the flood? How did they reappear again on the earth after the flood, when God had essentially, except for Noah and his family, wiped out mankind? You see, the reality is, men and women, the devil raised up the giants. The giants are sinister. They're satanic in character. Do you remember one of the features that they had? They had six fingers, well, five fingers and a thumb, if you want to look at it like that, and six toes, 24 in all. Six in the Bible is the number of man. Doesn't it remind us even of the Antichrist as well? And Goliath and those giants, that they are great foreshadowings, great pictures in the Bible of the Antichrist himself. And I want you to see that in ancient times, what those giants sought to do was to terrify the children of Israel. That was the satanic purpose for which they were placed in the land. To terrify the children of Israel, to keep them out of the land of promise. Isn't that what the book of Numbers tells us, the evil report that the spies brought back? There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak. Remember the Anakim? He's talking here about the Anakim, the sons of Anak, the giants, which come of the giants, he said, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we, so were we in their sight. You see, the devil's purpose for the giants was this. He wanted to hinder God's people from entering into the land of promise. When that report of the giants was given in the congregation of Israel, terror spread throughout the hearts of the people. That was the devil's purpose in all of those things. And brethren and sisters, the descendants of those giants, the Palestinians, they're doing exactly the same thing today. They want to terrorize the Israeli people because they don't want Israel to possess the land that the Lord has promised to them. So that's a little about that question, who lived in the Gaza Strip. One other question tonight. Why is Israel losing the Gaza Strip? That is what happened. I mentioned it to you back in 2005 by international treaty. It was taken from their hands. People ask, why is Israel losing territory? We understand from the Bible that they're going to gain more land. And that is true, men and women. Do you remember God's promise to Abraham? He said, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Israel has been promised borders, borders that will stretch from Egypt to the Euphrates, from the land of Egypt away down there in the south, right away over even to the nation of Iraq itself. Because remember, the river Euphrates is in what is known today as the land of Iraq. And we're going to think about it, God willing, next Sunday evening. That's a vast area. And I want you to understand that the promise is true, brethren and sisters. What God has promised to his people, they will possess. They will take it as their inheritance. But that belongs to a day that is yet future. A day when the Lord Jesus himself comes again. But what I want to point out especially, just at this point, I want you to understand something very important. And that is that the Bible not only teaches that the nation of Israel will be re-established before Christ comes back, but also that their ancient enemies will be re-established. That the ancient land of the Philistines, it's going to be in existence as well whenever the Lord Jesus comes back to this earth. I'd like you to see that, brethren and sisters. And the same is true of many of Israel's ancient enemies also. They're going to be re-established in that region of the earth round about Israel where they once inhabited in former times. And brethren and sisters, that's what's unfolding. That's what's unfolding before our eyes. In Israel losing the Gaza Strip, it's the re-establishment on the earth of the ancient land of the Philistines. And there's a number of passages in the Bible that teach that. I'd like to show you one. I'd like you to take the time just to turn with me for a moment to the book of Isaiah. Open the Bible, if you would, at Isaiah chapter 11. And I'll look at a few verses just from that portion of Scripture. And can I say that before I show you the reference to Gaza in the chapter, it's important to establish just when this passage is actually speaking about. It's important to understand what time in history it refers to. If you look at Isaiah 11 and the verse 11, it says, "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea." He says he's going to recover them the second time. The first time the Lord recovered Israel was after the captivity to Assyria and Babylon. The second time the Lord recovered his people is when he made them a nation again back in 1948. So this passage, men and women, is right up to date. It's talking about today. It's talking about the present time. If you look at the end of verse 12 of the chapter, it says that he's going to gather them from the four corners of the earth. You see those words? And gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. You know, that didn't happen in the days of Ezra. That didn't happen in the days of Nehemiah. But that's what's happening now, brethren and sisters, since the nation of Israel has been established. Jews are being brought back to the land, to their homeland. And they're being brought back to the nation of Israel from all over the world, all over the earth. Verse 13 of the passage, it talks about the nation united again, no longer a divided nation, no longer in two kingdoms. You look at that 13th verse. "The envy also of Abraham shall depart," or Ephraim, sorry, "shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim." The passage is speaking of Israel as she is today, and especially Israel as she will be at the time of the end. Now, having taken the time, and it's important to do it, to point out when this passage is speaking about, I want you to notice verse 14. And verse 14, men and women, tells us something that Israel's going to do at the time of the end. It says, "But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. Isn't that interesting? The Israeli army are going to attack the Philistines, and they're going to attack the Philistines in the Gaza Strip. Isn't that what is meant by the west? It says they'll fly upon the shoulder of the Philistines toward, the direction is given you, the direction in the compass, it says towards the west. It's talking about the Gaza Strip. And men and women, if that is to take place, then clearly this land, the Gaza Strip, and clearly this people, the Philistines, that both of them are going to be in existence again before the Lord Jesus comes back to this world. We sometimes talk about a revival. There's going to be a revival out there of ancient Philistia. A revival which will be both physical and spiritual. It will be physical because the nation will be set up again. But it will also be a spiritual revival of Philistia. The Lord's going to work among those people. Zechariah says that those Philistines that live there in Gaza, that some of them will be for the Lord. Isn't that a tremendous statement? The Lord is a people, even among the Philistines of the earth. What an encouragement that is, men and women. There's going to be a spiritual revival among these people too. Do you remember I said there's only one mention of Gaza in the New Testament? That's the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Do you remember the words in the book of Acts? Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. You know, men and women, that's what they're fighting over. Just a desert. A barren piece of land. And you remember the story of the eunuch? The eunuch was saved when Philip opened to him the scriptures he was reading. In the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53, he didn't understand the passage, and the Lord guided Philip to come and help him and to witness and to preach Christ to him. The eunuch was saved in the Gaza Strip. Think of that. That part of the earth, so known for war, for fighting, for bloodshed, and a soul saved in that area. And I think, men and women, that's a little indication. That's a little token of what the Lord's going to do in a future day. The Lord will save more in that particular region of the earth. There's going to be a revival of the Philistines, and there's going to be a revival in the land of the Philistines as well. There's a man called Kermit Zarley. It's a very strange name. Kermit Zarley was a golfer in the United States of America. He was a Christian, and he held Bible studies among the PGA golfers. He had a great interest in Bible prophecy, and he wrote a book called Palestine is Coming. And men and women, that's what's happening. That's what's taking place. Remember that Palestine, strictly speaking, is the land occupied by the Philistines. I know at times in history, Palestine is referred to the whole land of Israel, but strictly speaking, Palestine is the land occupied by the Philistines. And in that sense, Palestine is coming. The land of the Philistines is going to be re-established once more upon the earth. And we need to watch for it. And remember that even though Israel have lost that land for now, I want to tell you something. One day that land will be theirs. Because remember that in the Psalms, the Lord declared, over Philistia will I triumph. One day the Philistines will be defeated. It says in the passage, Joshua had long war. It's been a very long war. It's a war that has been protracted now for nearly four millenniums. But one day, men and women, the Philistines will be defeated. The Lord will rule even over that region of the earth, over Philistia, even over that rebellious and hard-hearted people. The Lord says, over Philistia will I triumph. So don't be troubled, men and women. Don't be confused about what's taking place out there in Israel and out there in Gaza. What we have witnessed in that region of the earth is just bringing us another step closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Gaza Strip, I reckon, I hope, what I've said tonight will be a little introduction for you, even to that theme. And can I say this to you just in closing? Remember that the Lord could save a Philistine. You think of a Philistine, the wickedness, the enmity, the hatred, the fighting, the war, the bloodshed, the murder. You think of how great a sinner a Philistine is. Well, if the Lord can save a Philistine, he can save you tonight, whoever you are and whatever you've done. And I want at the end of this meeting, at the close of the gathering, to encourage you and invite you to come to Jesus Christ for his so great salvation. I pray the Lord will bless to all our hearts tonight this message from his word. 701.